And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
With just a few days left before the 2006 midterm elections, it all comes down to which side is going to walk away with the House and which walks away with the Senate. There's a lot at stake, and today we get two perspectives on the U.S. elections from two environmental writers and advocates who cut on through to the other side. That's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. Due to the adult content of the program you are about to hear, listener attention is advised.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Election 2006 is now just a few days away. That the war in Iraq is the monster in the closet for the Bush administration, while the Democrats waffle and dodge the missteps of their self-anointed leaders. As would be expected, the outcome is a slam dunk for the Democrats, or so some would have us believe, while a close call is the safe bet for those who want to retain their political prognosticator certificates, while fears of yet another stolen election sully the reputation of the world's champion for democracy and the right of a people to decide in fair elections the will of the people. And so who will win? One of my massive concerns is that a true and honest dialogue about the future of nature and our environment is never discussed with any acumen or depth in these elections. This at a time when resource wars promise to further complicate international relations, when global warming threatens to overturn the global economy, when the world's grandest creatures loom perilously close to extinction, and people witness the lands of their ancestors, artists, and spirit torn and blasted away from the communities that worship within them. And yet, in dialogues and debates of the aspiring kings and princesses of our future, tongues go numb and minds succumb to the wanton ploys of power. So today we offer two voices that leap forth in forthright candor to talk about the earth and power and politics and people. Following the news, we take a step back to 2004, days before the election, to hear the prognostications of one who has built a career as a global futurist. We hear once again the thoughts of legendary advocate, author, and iconoclast, Dr. Paul Ehrlich, as he shares his thoughts on the significance of the outcome of the 2004 presidential election, just days before it happened. Then, in segments 2 and 3, we hear another voice that speaks from a place of great passion against the plunder of the paradise of the heart and hills, which he intermixes in a soulful sense of home. Robert Nanenga, writer, activist, speaks to us from San Diego about the failure of a Federalist dream. We take a refreshing step inside the wildness of reason following the news. So now, the news. Large species of coral are disappearing from around the U.S. Virgin Islands, Jamaica, and throughout the Caribbean, according to a leading researcher. Larger species are being replaced by smaller species, which do not offer protection for fish, lobster, and other sea life that live with and amongst the large coral colonies. Abnormally warm weather, along with pollution and overfishing, is killing the coral, according to Peter Edmonds, biology professor at California State University, Northridge. Larger coral is a critical part of a complex ecosystem upon which marine life depends and grows and reproduces best when the temperature is around 81.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Seas have now reached 85.3 degrees, temperatures at which coral can be damaged if waters do not cool after only a few weeks. Such conditions could lead to the total transformation of the Caribbean underwater seascape within 50 years. Great Britain let loose with a report which claims that global warming is destined to have enormous economic consequences within this century, consuming up to 20% of the global domestic annual product, if actions are not initiated immediately to turn the warming tides. British Treasury Chief Gordon Brown commissioned the report which called for bold and decisive action to cut carbon dioxide emissions and stem the worst of the temperature rise. Prime Minister Blair called the report the most important document on the future that he had read since becoming Prime Minister. Treasury Chief Brown has hired Al Gore to consult as a change agent, as he has so successfully brought awareness of the global warming crisis which looms in the planet's future through his years of work and his recent movie, An Inconvenient Truth. Meanwhile, in Washington, two federal agencies are investigating whether the Bush administration assisted in blocking government scientists from speaking freely about global warming and bringing about the censure of the research. This, according to Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, who said he was informed that the Inspectors General of the Commerce Department and NASA had begun a coordinated and sweeping investigation of the Bush administration's censorship and suppression of federal research into global warming. Administration spokeswoman Kristen Helmer said Wednesday that, on the contrary, we have in place the most transparent system of science reporting, and claims that the administration interfered with scientists are false. Claims of interference have been intensified recently with a report that a public affairs officer, George Deutsch, a political appointee, changed or filtered information on global warming and the Big Bang. The investigations will seek written corroboration to support or disprove Lautenberg's claims. And finally, scientists once again have discovered something that apparently was totally unknown until they discovered it. Elephants provided with giant mirrors and marked with huge white X's on their heads have the capacity to recognize themselves in the mirror and even touch the giant X with their trunks while looking into the mirror, thus proving that the animals have the ability for self-recognition. This raises elephantine questions about animal awareness, intelligence, feelings, compassions for other elephants, which scientists will now set out to discover. Meanwhile, this morning, my bird Smokey realized that when I hold her to my chest and rub her head, I'm being nice, not mean. And now, she suddenly welcomes such friendly hugs and kisses without complaint. And that's the news. 2 years ago, the Wild Side News brought you a series of guests who shared their thoughts on the significance to the Earth and our future of Election 2004. We are all now living with that outcome. Some people claim that this ever-changing world is just too unpredictable to reason what is to come. We bring you now the thoughts of Dr. Paul Ehrlich, just days before the 2004 election between John Kerry and George Bush.
Paul Ehrlich opens our show. Paul Ehrlich is legendary as a futurist, and with his wife Anne have penned their newest book about our future, One with Nineveh, Politics, Consumption, and the Human Future. Paul, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Nice to be here. I'm standing in line waiting for a typhoid shot. How are you?
Sounds like fun. We're all having such fun these days.
I'm like all my colleagues, I'm desperately disturbed. I don't know a single person, Democrat or Republican, who doesn't think that the Bush administration is the worst and most dangerous in the history of the United States. There may have been more crooks in a Tyler administration, but he couldn't blow up the world. And I think that the thing that concerns me is my grandchildren. I have them living here, Washington, D.C., and, Bush has created this huge recruiting poster for terrorists in Iraq and is not defending our homeland against the possibility of nuclear weapons smuggled in, against the huge possibility of future epidemics. We've just seen the total incompetence of our government in even supplying us with flu vaccines. And, of course, is busily destroying the environment and wrecking our civil rights. It is the most frightening election in my unfortunately long life. And I must say the things you just said, I agree with wholeheartedly. And as I say, so do all of my friends. I left the Republican Party when Bush was nominated. My friend Russ Train, who was Nixon's head of the EPA, is going to vote for Kerry. Pete McCloskey, my friend, the Republican congressman from this district some years ago, got out an op-ed saying he was going to vote for Kerry. No one who loves their grandchildren, thinks anything about future generations, and wants to have a decent life could possibly think of voting for this bunch of liars. It's incredible to me that virtually no member of this administration, of the Bush administration, has ever served in the U.S. military, and yet they keep waving their flags while a genuine hero, someone who had the guts, and I know John Kerry reasonably well, he had the guts not only to go to Vietnam and get himself wounded, but then when he came back, had the guts to tell the country it was the wrong war. And somehow, the Republican spin doctors have turned it all around. It's a dramatically awful situation. You want to know what I really think?
Well, actually, I'm gonna let you just free associate, Paul, because you've really spent your entire life and know more about this than I could ever hope to know. I'd like you to share your thoughts about our future, the Earth in particular, the environment, and how that relates to this election. And yes, please be free to share whatever you have. About 7 minutes here to go.
I think all of these things are basically tied together. In other words, one question Americans have to ask themselves is, why are we in Iraq? Those of us who were in the know there was no reason to invade Iraq before the invasion and tried to stop it. Gretchen Daly, the famous ecologist, said, do you really suppose we'd be invading Iraq if its main export were broccoli? In other words, the reason we're in Iraq is because we're driving so many SUVs and are so dependent on petroleum. And yet every sensible scientist and virtually every economist I know think we should be taxing petroleum more heavily and getting off it, because of course that's why the oceans are rising, that's why the glaciers are melting, that's why we may have a catastrophic failure of agriculture, because we're pushing the climatic system hard and it's likely to change in ways that we don't like at all. So, you know, American tanks driving around trying to keep control of oil is just exactly the wrong thing. We have American boys dying to keep the Hummers rolling temporarily. And of course, I should say boys and girls, and of course, many thousands of Iraqis also having their lives destroyed. Now, nobody misses Saddam Hussein. At the same time, there is no reason to believe that he, even if he had had weapons of mass destruction, that he, like the Russians, couldn't have been deterred. So, the whole Iraq war is basically an environmental war. It's an attempt to get resources we shouldn't be using, and that is Bush's super major mistake. The second one, of course, is describing us as basically anti-Muslim in his crusade technology. He's got a bunch of people who think we ought to regenerate the crusades of the distant past in order to try and make the world an American empire. That's a very stupid thing to do. Even if it were moral, which it isn't, it's something that is going to boomerang on us. We should be helping the poor people of the world. The threat of large epidemics is increased all the time as there are larger and larger numbers of poor people pushing themselves into close contact with the organisms that cause disease. And of course, SARS is an example. The scientific community is worried sick over a bird flu starting up in Asia and getting over here and elsewhere. And yet we are disarming ourselves on the epidemiological front. Something like 90% of the containers that come into the United States are not inspected, and that would be an easy way for somebody to send in a nuclear weapon. Bush is spending billions of dollars on a Star Wars defense, A, that won't work, and B, as everybody knows, it's the last way another nation would send a nuclear weapon at us, because it's the only way we'd know for sure where it came from. So what we've got is a bunch of nutcases in this administration, and I am really frightened of what will happen if we get another 4 years of them. And I'm really concerned, as you probably can tell.
Obviously, and I want to create this forum for particularly people in the environment who somehow their voices, and you're way beyond just the environment, you actually have this incredible breadth of perspective that is a clarion vision for the future. Let's talk about John Kerry, what you think he may be able to bring to this table, because you do know him and you know people who know him. Let's talk about what you think what differences he might be able to forge.
Well, I would hope he would return us to a bipartisan approach on the environment that my unfortunately now dead friend Jack Heintz, who was a Republican senator from Pennsylvania was killed in an airplane accident, and Tim Wirth, the Democratic senator, used to work together very well across the aisle on trying to solve these very nonpartisan environmental problems to keep our life support systems functioning. People don't understand that the environment just isn't another little political issue like Social Security or medical care or unions or something. The environment is the very lives of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And Heinz and Wirth worked together very well. And, of course, Heinz's widow, Teresa Heinz, is a great environmentalist and is now married to John Kerry. And Kerry knows all the best people in the country of both parties dealing with environmental issues and also dealing with security issues, by the way, because it's very clear that what Bush has is a bunch of crazy neoconservatives trying to deal with security. I know Condi Rice very well, his security advisor. She's a cold warrior. She's nowhere near as stupid as she appears when she's trying to defend Bush's crazy policies on TV, but she knows nothing about the security issues today. If we were still fighting the Soviet Union, she would be a valuable addition to our security apparatus. As it is now, she's just off, you know, off the planet. So, John Kerry knows the right people. He's got the right instincts. He thinks about things. He isn't driven by a crazed religious fringe, I think he'll make an excellent president.
You know, as we face this election, unfortunately, my concern is the fact that I'm beginning to wonder if it's even going to happen. I'm afraid that it's
Of course, that's another thing. I mean, the attempts to steal the election are already well underway, and that's frightening. Another thing that's frightening is I don't envy John Kerry if he's elected, because the economy's heading towards the dumper, and Iraq, for anybody who's got at least half a wit, I'm not talking about Bush, is descending into an absolutely hideous mess. And all this is going to be dumped on our next president. God knows what Bush will do if he's the next president. I'd hate to see him elected even one time.
You know, what are you hearing in terms of oil prices? Because no one's talking about this, and it's one of my enormous concerns. How are we, and I'm hearing rumors of $70 a barrel oil.
Well,
what are you hearing?
Well, oil could very well increase in price. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Unfortunately, we're not prepared for it. In other words, we should have been, for the last 20 years, trying to transition away from our incredible dependence on oil by gradually increasing taxes on it and that thereby damping down the demand. That is, not having everybody driving an SUV and air conditioning their homes down to 68 in the summer and so on, reducing our dependence on commuting. If that were the case, oil would probably be around where it is now. Gasoline would be around where it is now. But instead of the extra money going into the pockets of the Saudis who use it to pay off the madrassas who are recruiting terrorists, it would be going into the United States Treasury in the form of taxes and could be used to do things like repair our broken educational system, take care of our hideous problems in health care, and so on. So the whole thing, and this is not just both Bush's fault, our country has been on the wrong direction on fossil fuels for at least two or three decades, and oil prices are now going to go up, and the additional money is, again, not going to go to help Americans. It's going to go to pay off people who are, you know, the very rich in Saudi Arabia who are training terrorists.
Well, Paul, I sure wish you'd learn to speak your mind.
If you want to know what I really think, it would be too uncensorable, you know.
Read his book with his wife, Anne, a wonderful book, One with Nineveh. Thank you, Paul Ehrlich, for giving your thoughts on the Wild Side News.
Nice to talk to you. Take care.
You bet. Bye. When we return, we continue with more environmental leaders here on the Wild Side.
Looking for a leader to bring our country home. Reunite the red, white, and blue before it turns to stone. Looking for somebody young enough to take it on. Clean up the corruption and make the country strong.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.